This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey ladies, welcome back. This is episode 130, and I'm talking to Jessica Kastner. She is a journalist, she's an author, she works a lot with kiddos in the juvenile detention centers, which I love because my first real job was with juvenile inmates too. One of the reasons I really wanted to talk to Jessica today is that she is someone who is very open about the fact that she doesn't quite fit the mold. She is currently a single mom, she works full-time, and she does not have a problem telling you that finding Christian mom friends, finding like a kindred spirit mom was not easy. She had a lot of times where she was lonely, where her kids were kind of acting up. Like she mentions having that kid, you know, the one that everyone's like, are you kidding me right now? That kid's doing that thing. She had that kid. And so when you feel different and your kid is acting different, what do you do? I think it's something that we can all identify places where we just don't feel like we fit. We also talk about the importance of pretend play and what to do when you super hate it, which is me. What to do when you are a mom and you just don't have that much time with your kids. How do you make it count? What do you do with a kid who really lacks motivation? We talk about a lot of great stuff, and I think that you're really gonna enjoy her honesty. But before we get started, I wanted to share with you a couple minutes of my chat with my sister Katie in the Struggling Sister segment.
Oh, I solved one of your problems. This is not fashion related. Okay. Problem solved?
Yeah, which one?
The movie night, who picks?
Yeah, well.
And then it turns into WrestleMania.
Yes. So what do we do?
One person picks the snack, the other person picks the movie.
Okay.
And then if you don't like the movie, shut up and eat your snack. And if you don't like the snack, shut up and watch the movie.
That's good.
Everybody shut up.
I love it. So what is a good snack? Because everybody just wants popcorn, and I hate popcorn.
Oh, yeah, we never do popcorn. It's mostly Oreos.
Okay.
They do a lot of Oreos, and they just sit on the coffee table so they don't make a mess.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. It's different all the time. Sometimes it's Girl Scout cookies. Sometimes Brandon will make that kind of popcorn that is salty and sweet.
Kettle corn?
Kettle corn, yeah.
Do you have to have a kettle to make? How do you make that?
Well, like you have a kettle. It's like in a pot.
So why don't you call it pot corn?
It's pot corn.
No wonder they go with kettle. Okay, so you said that you're watching your sister's kids and some of them are sick.
My sister's husband has the flu, so we took a couple of her kids because they've been sick for like 6 weeks. So they're just trying to stop the spreading because she has six kids and they homeschool, so they don't leave the house. So it's just this like labyrinth of sickness. I'm like, let me just take the non-sick ones just to give them like reprieve. So it's just adventurous. And the kids are all off from school today, obviously. So
how many kids do you have?
I have three boys.
Three boys. And they are kind of older?
8, 9, and 17. So
okay.
I'm out of the...
No diapers.
These are the best ages. I keep saying I wish I could freeze them at these ages because they're easy, they're independent, but they're still fun and little. So I enjoy these ages. I never excelled or flourished really with the baby toddler years.
Oh,
so I'm
either.
Just like loving this.
Yeah, that's so good. Even though they like back talk and stuff, there's like thoughtful things coming out of their mouth and it's nice.
Yes. Yes. How many do you have?
I have a girl and a boy, 9 and 5.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good difference. Are they friends? Do they play?
You know, they really do, especially when one of them has a friend over, then the other one is intensely interested in their life.
Yeah, totally.
They don't go, oh, yeah, that's fine. I'll give you your space. They're like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm here too. So, okay, tell me what you do for a living. You're a journalist, or you were?
I was a journalist, so I still write for a bunch of websites like Huffington Post and Christian Broadcasting Networks online. But I am a publicist at a secular book publisher in Connecticut, or publicity manager, really. So it's me. So I'm just really surrounded with writing and books. It's fun.
That's good. So you've always liked writing?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be an author. This is my first book. So it's still, I mean, it's been 6 months since the book came out, and it's still every day I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I wrote a book. It was literally like in second grade. Like, I just want to write books. So hoping to continue. But yeah, it's just one of those surreal experiences because it's so different writing articles or about other people. But to write about your own life and have actually someone want to publish it is still like, how's that happening?
I'm sure. Okay, so you are also a single mom who works full time.
So yes, I was married for 7 years, been divorced a couple years now, work full time. I'm involved in a ministry. So yeah, it's really hectic. I think that's one of my biggest challenges is so many moms today, single or not. I just feel like, I don't know. One of my big themes is I think life is so much more complicated than it used to be when we were, I'm Generation X. So years ago, just school activities, even just sports, everything is just more complicated. There's more involvement from parents, which is a good thing in some ways. But I feel like we're just stretched way too thin, single or not, as moms.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like a lot of times on the moms on my show are not single moms. And so I feel like that's an underrepresented interviewee.
Yes.
So I just want to hear your perspective on that. Plus boys, like how do you manage being a boy mom when you're a girl? What do you do?
I know. And I come from all sisters and I always thought I'd have a girl. So it is funny. Once you have your first boy, you're like, what do I do with this one?
Yes.
But now I can't imagine having, I mean, I think God purposely plans each of our kids and equips us specifically for them, obviously. But I think I was meant to have boys now that I have nieces. And I see the struggles. I'd rather get beaten up with a lightsaber, or I have a lot of energy. So we were on the trampoline. I always joke, my neighbors definitely think I'm crazy because all these other moms, I don't see any other moms on the trampoline, but I am out there every day and in the winter.
I love it.
You know, what else are you supposed to do with these? And it's fun. So I love having boys, but it was definitely like, okay, what do I do? I mean, so I've learned Lego. I mean, I can talk every Lego Ninjago character, and I'm such a girly girl too. So it is really funny to be in this little boy world, isn't it?
Yeah. And by the way, I would be on the trampoline if it didn't make me feel like I was going to throw up. Like I'm 100.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? I can't swing anymore. I can't even look at my phone when I'm like the passenger in a car because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna throw up. So
did that happen a little later? Because I can't swing anymore too. I used to pride myself, and like when I hit like 35, I think it's like, oh, those are getting older things.
Yeah, I read entire novels in cars before, and all of a sudden I can't look at my phone. So it's coming.
Okay.
Enjoy the trampoline while you can.
Thanks.
I love HelloFresh. You get to choose your delivery day when it works best for your schedule. You can pause it when you're out of town. Everything comes in pre-measured, labeled meal kits. I do not know why this is so adorable to me, but it is. And it's delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging that my children promptly turn into doghouses and rocket ships. HelloFresh gives you a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change every week. I feel confident when I'm cooking HelloFresh meals because the recipes are so simple. There's pictures, guys. You can try things you never would think to cook on your own, and you get to enjoy eating outside of your normal comfort zone. I love cooking with my 9-year-old daughter when HelloFresh comes because I kind of just let her take the wheel, and then she is super proud of herself at dinner time, and I am super proud that I didn't have to cook it. I didn't have to meal plan, I didn't have to grocery shop, and a lot of the meals are one-pot meals, so the cleanup is a breeze. One of the meals they sent us was called Figgy Balsamic Pork. I literally licked the plate. It was amazing. So if you want to lick your own plate too, you need to try HelloFresh. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code MSW30. So that's HelloFresh.com, promo code MSW30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. So you're very honest in your books and you're like, this isn't really my jam being a mom, actually. And I am too, which is what this whole entire podcast started from. And so I get that. How did you kind of transition into being fluent in Ninjago? Like, because some moms just say, I'm not doing that. That's something you're doing. I'm not engaging with that.
So I was single for 7 years. I wasn't a Christian when I got married with my first. I was in college. I came to the Lord through having Jack, my first, actually. So I was alone with him. And I think it's more difficult having one child than having two, because my next two were born within 18 months of each other. And they just had each other. So I was in it. I feel like, what else are you going to do except play with them? Because you're their playmate and their mom. So I really was like baptism by fire with my first, because I found myself like, wow, just doing everything, just sitting there with Play-Doh and arts and crafts and sword fighting. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges. And I think it's tempting to be like, oh, we're parents. We don't really play. Like, go fight your friend or get your brother and sister. But I honestly think that's one of the greatest ways of making memories. I fail at so much as a mom, but that's one of my like few top things where I think I just, it's like a sacrifice because it's hard. Like anyone that's ever pretend played, I mean, it's not fun, right?
It's not
fun. Cute to see. It's hard, especially
when
you're
always winning.
And
I like winning.
I know. I feel like anybody could hear me. I probably sound like a sociopath because I'll get carried away, like my imagination. And I was just playing with my niece the other day. We visited and she's like, Auntie, she grabbed my face. Calm down. You're getting a little weird and crazy. I was like, ah, hey, girl, just trying to make it fun. So yeah, it is a sacrifice. I feel like it's so easy to just be like, oh, we don't do that. And there's dishes to be done and there's phone calls to be made. So pretend play just seems like, oh, but I don't know. They're only little ones, right?
Yeah. Did it get easier? Like for the mom who's like, totally. I'd really rather.
I think everything gets easier. I do tend to be a little optimistic. I'm definitely half full. I don't want to sound like Mary Poppins all the time, but I think with every child, I think it gets easier because you just are more experienced as a mom. I think you have more patience. I feel like the older they get for me, they get easier. So I feel like everything, and you get little, like my book, I have like nuggets of wisdom, or I don't know what you'd call them, but little like tricks of the trade or tools to get you through. So when I pretend play, especially when they're younger, I mean, 1 hour feels like 3 hours, right? When they're just like, they don't even hardly talk and you're so tired anyways, just sitting on the floor with little people like, oh, shoot me. Yeah. So I would do little, like I'd always have worship music on and I'd always have to have all right, I'll do it to 2:15 or I'll do it till 3. So I needed an end goal. And it sounds awful to non-parents, right? This sounds like terrible, like, geez, like, but it's hard. So I would have those little, like, it did get easier because I learned little mental tricks for myself. Yeah. Little rewards, you know, coffee. I mean, it's easier.
That's really good. Yeah, I definitely have. I'll look at the clock and have an end time because then I know I did a significant amount and
a chunk, tangible evidence.
Yes, and the rest of my life will not be spent doing this. So,
yes. Oh, man. I know. My whole thing, I always, like one of the girls that copy edited my book, I felt that she wasn't a mom yet. And I feel like, oh, geez, I never wanted to paint this picture of, oh, it's so hard and doom and gloom and there's no joy. But a lot of it is, you're not going to feel happy and giddy. And a lot of it isn't just like butterflies and rainbows. And I think what we expect or what we think about when with our own childhood, because our moms just, my mom made it look fun and easy. She was a great mom, but we didn't know what it was like for them. So I do think it's just a good message. It's okay if it's hard. Like, I used to feel guilty. Like, why am I dreading playing with my kid? I'm a horrible mom, but who cares? You're doing it. And they never said it was always going to be fun and happy. You just have to own the things about momhood that make you happy. So I feel like there's just, has to be like a lot of freedom. I think we need a little freedom in that area.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what parts of motherhood do make you happy?
So I love being outside. I'm definitely a nature person. We're bare feet like 6 months out of the year running around. So I love just like exploring nature. Someone was just asking me, what's your like go-to in the winter? How do you get through? YouTube, Bethel Worship Kids. We dance, we get out instruments. Now they're a little older, so we don't do so much of that. But we just do games. I feel like I'm a big game person. I think it's so fun. Like Pictionary, silly games. Now they have these crazy games like pie in the face on these messy games. But
so messy.
It's like, really, who is her? People bust out the whipped cream every day. But so I feel like I love making memories. My whole thing is making memories. So even if it's like making supper together, like making cookies, and they don't actually help, but just doing things. And I feel like it is quality over quantity. I feel like you could spend a whole day with your kids and not really be into it and half listening and kind of going through the motions, or you can like pick two things during the day that I'm just going to like commit to, like phone's going to stay in the other room. And I feel like that's way better. And I feel like it's more fun. And so I feel like that's something that works for me.
I love it. How do you balance the fact that you've got to go to work? Do you have guilt about that? And how do you keep that in check?
I'm getting better. You have to go to work. Sometimes it's a reality for us. I was really, really blessed. And I never want to make moms that have to go to work and leave their kids in daycare feel guilty, because sometimes I know there's not an option.
Right.
I was lucky enough to stay home with my little two. And then so when I went back, they were 4 and 5. So I didn't feel so guilty. But it is hard because I just think you're tired. Like, I remember the days of just coming home and you could just eat and sit in silence and pluck your eyebrows. Like, oh, that sounds, I can't even wait. I can't wait to pluck my eyebrows.
What a luxury.
Stare in the mirror and just do nothing. Just do nothing. I think there's guilt in that. Sometimes you don't even want to go to the house. Like, when it's been like a long day at work, you just know what awaits. You can see them running past the windows. Like, oh, okay. I still have to cook supper, and supper is not fun in our house. They're so picky. I'm a terrible cook. I don't enjoy it. Everything about cooking and presenting meals is just terrible for me. So I feel like, I think the guilt is I managed to give them attention. I am pretty good about, like, I'm all in when it comes. I feel guilty that I have to kind of talk myself into it, even though you miss your kids. Sometimes it's like you have to talk yourself into them coming home from school or just wanting to see them because you're tired, you know?
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I feel, there's so much guilt when you're like, what is wrong with me that I don't even want to walk in my house?
Seriously.
Yeah. All right. You told me that your teen is lacking motivation, like big time.
Yeah. Very apathetic.
What's working?
Right now I'm using kind of a consequence situation. Like, you're going to lose your phone. He's a big Xbox kid. He's always home. He's very social. He's a great kid. But so I kind of like, listen, you can't get D's. So no Xbox. You have to lose your phone. Taking away his phone, even at night, was like, oh my gosh, removing an appendage, a vital organ. So right now it's a real struggle. I feel he doesn't have a lot of ambition. It's not that he's not smart. So it's like, it's kind of sad when your kids aren't trying. I'd almost rather them not have the abilities and at least they're trying than like have abilities and not try at all. So it's one of those things I haven't, like every other stage of childhood, you're not prepared for that. That wasn't an issue when I was, I always tried hard and did okay in school. Yeah. So I'm just like, what do we do? I'm ready to, I was going to take him to a therapist. I was so worried. Like, does he not have self-esteem? Why is he not trying? And oh, it's so hard when you're faced with something that you just haven't dealt with before. Right.
Yeah.
It's going better. And it's all about like, what kind of life do you want for yourself, Jack? Like, you're 17, you're going to be a man soon. Like, what kind of journey do you want? Like, what do you want out of life? Like, you're not going to have me forever, but those are hard talks to have. And I'm not good at communication. I avoid conflict and like the plague. So it's like, that's a struggle for me with the older they get. It's just like, have those real sit down talks. Cause I dreaded them so much. And so funny how your kids can resemble you. Ever notice that? And you're just like, wow, he's rolling. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know this is not comfortable because I can't stand this kind of thing.
So. Yeah, I hate it too. It's funny because they resemble you in the ways that you're like, I wish you didn't resemble me.
Oh,
but then in the brutal ways you're like, but I'm killing it in this area. Why can't you try too?
I know. It's so funny when you see your kids mirror your weaknesses. Like, the messiness. I literally have been mid-sentence, this is a couple years ago, like, you have to clean up. How does your room... And I just literally like just walked away because I'm like, no, my room is disgusting. I can't even say anything to them right now to this kid. So I've gotten better.
Oh, man. Yes. I am personally a really big fan of RX bars, and my kids were always trying to eat my bars, but it made me mad because they never finished them. Well, I was so happy to hear that RX Bar made kids' bars. Same high quality, clean label nutrition as in the regular RX bars, but just in kid-friendly flavors and a tinier size. They come in chocolate chip, apple cinnamon raisin, and berry blast. RX Bar Kids are great for all kinds of occasions, snack time, breakfast on the go, putting them in a sports bag. We're not sports people, but if we had a sports bag, they'd be in it. It's even good in the car glove compartment for when things are about to get crazy because everybody is hangry. My kids love the chocolate chip one the best because they're kids who are obsessed with chocolate. I really liked all of them. The apple cinnamon might be my favorite. You can get your very own RX Bar Kids at Target stores, or if you want 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/MSW. At checkout, enter promo code MSW. So that's rxbar.com/MSW and then promo code MSW for 25% off your first order. Okay, so you love real, you love gritty. What made you want to talk to other women about that? I mean, you just saw people needing freedom.
I just, probably from what I went through in my own experience. So I became a Christian as a new mom. Jeff was probably about one. So, you know, this woman kind of took me under her wing. Oh, you have to join this little group called Growing Kids God's Way. And I felt like I was surrounded with these like just all together moms, lots of them homeschooled. They're all organized. They all have lots of kids. And I felt a little alone and isolated because I felt like I was complaining, and I felt like no one complained. No one would like the things that we're talking about now. They'd just be like, oh, you know, there's grace for that. And it's a blessing. And like, I just felt like, can we just talk? Really? I'm going to catch you. Roll your eyes. And not that you want people to act that way, but I just felt I think my thing is in Christian circles, we're hesitant to really share what we really think and what our struggles are sometimes, because it could be looked at as you're not grateful or you're complaining or you're, but I think there's a difference. I think there's a lot of freedom, just like confess your sins and there's freedom into a brother. I feel like you have to have a couple of friends to just talk with, right? And my dream for the book that just came out is not everybody has, like I have all my cousins and my sister and my mom, my friends are Christian. And so I have such a support network. I don't know how I would have done it without the women and the friends in my life. Yeah. But there are people out there that don't have any Christian friends, or maybe don't have a bunch of mom friends, or maybe moved somewhere because their husband got a transfer and they're like alone in their town, just signing up for random moms groups because they're so desperate and lonely and bored. So I feel like I can't even imagine. I'm so blessed. I'm so lucky to have such a support network my whole life. So kind of felt like, wow, maybe someone will read this and like, yes, I'm not alone, and just laugh. And I just felt like I wanted to be like a best friend talking to her best friend.
That's so good. How have you seen it help women, just to be honest?
Well, I've got a lot of feedback. Honestly, most of it has been like, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. Like, yeah. And a couple of my like takeaways, it's not all silliness. I mean, I have a few messages in there. Just like,
I'd say something that matters too.
Well, it's so funny. Everyone's like, what's the takeaway? What's the message? I'm like, I think laughter heals and that's it. You're not going to be revolutionized reading this book, but that's not what I want it to be. I don't know. I love talking about real life. It's my favorite thing to do. So I think in a couple of the feedback and just some of the reviews, just like, wow, yeah. Like, I never really thought about like owning your own motherhood. Like, I am really good at this. I never really thought about that way, because the way we judge and rate motherhood is usually tangible. It's usually you're in the domestic department. Why is it like that? I don't think it should be.
Or it's based on how your kids are acting, which
yeah,
we all know is terrible, largely. Especially when it matters, you know?
I know. Oh my gosh, I know. Exactly. Church, I can't even. Used to be my difficult. They wouldn't let me leave the nursery. Just like, oh, I have that kid. Like, I have that kid.
Okay, talk to me about that. What's that like to have that kid? How do you not feel like you're failing?
I remember Eli, my middle, literally chucking cheese at our life group guests from like the banister stairs. He wouldn't go to bed, just chucking snacks at a Bible study guest. And I was like, it's just in a Christian realm, our little slum culture, I feel like the authority you have over your kids and the freedom, you know, that your home is like the demonstration of Christ's authority in your house. Like, and I've heard from pastors' wives, though, they're like, yeah, everybody like expects like, oh, your pastor's wife, your kids must be perfect. There is an extra layer of pressure when you're like a Christian person, because you're just like, we have the peace that surpasses all understanding and the joy of the Lord, but your kids are acting crazy monsters in the library, chucking Thomas the Train in your head. So like, really, lady, you almost feel like a hypocrite. But it's like, no, that's our own judgments and our own things we place on ourselves and each other. So
what did you do in that Bible study where you just felt like you didn't quite fit? Did they eventually start opening up, or did you find people who were more willing to be honest?
Yeah, I found people over the years. Yeah. So I kind of honestly, not till my other two, it was kind of like a lonely, it's kind of by myself for the first 7 years and with my other two. And then you met more similar. There's a chapter dedicated to like your spirit animal mom. Like, you find her, the kindred spirit mom. So I did finally find some of those, especially my stay-at-home years, thank goodness, because it's like you just want someone to meet up at the park. I remember sitting at a playgroup once, or it was a park, and all the other moms, like, they came, like, probably just three or four of them, and they're talking, and they weren't ignoring their kids. They were just, like, having fun, and I was like, what do you do? Just walk up to them like some lunatic? So I was so lonely and sad. So I feel like when you finally find mom friends, it's such a gift.
Did you walk up to them, or you just watched them and cried?
No, I'm not that girl. No, I just was like, yeah, right.
Okay. It's so hard. It can be really isolating. Okay, so talk to me about, because I struggle with this, sometimes being very honest is so good and refreshing. And then I feel like it's like a really thin line between that and being really negative and complaining. How do you stay on the right side of that line?
I know, that's a good question, because I feel like even my mom was a little worried. She's like, I'm mom. People are going to think you don't like being a mom. You're devaluing mom and your sarcasm. I mean, sarcasm is my love language, but it can be and has been misunderstood as like you're biting or you're a little too, I guess it could be construed as negative. So I do think that you always have to check yourself. I feel like, I mean, being a Christian helps, because you're really supposed to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And I do have peace and joy every single day, even in the worst of days. It's one of my biggest, most fun things to talk about is the message of joy, because it's one of my very few gifts and things I think is a strength in my life. So I feel like when you have joy, it's hard to be negative. I don't consider myself negative. It's so funny you say that, because there is difference between just being real and being negative, because I think the realness, even the crazy difficulty, is I laugh at it. Like, I don't know how people get through this place here on earth without laughing at even the bad things that happen, the ridiculous things. It's just a circus. So I feel like you have the Holy Spirit, and I feel like the rest is just, you have to be careful how you do present it though and talk, because a lot of people don't communicate that way. So I have gotten some comments, sarcasm and tell all my book, like, wow, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought it'd be like a devotional scripture. And it's like, well, there's a little in the back, but.
Gosh. No, I get it. I'm very misunderstood a great deal of the time, and it's okay.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. And that's the thing. Like, not everybody is for every. When you start watering down your message or try to like placate the masses, then it loses it. You lose your authenticity, right? So I feel like that made me this way. I feel like he enjoys my sarcasm. It's coming from a good place. Like, I love people. I think that's where you check yourself. Do I love people? Am I writing this with love in my heart for others? And it is always there, right? So
yes.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So as a single mom, how do you find that you're prioritizing like getting godly men around your kids since they're boys?
I know. So I am really, really blessed. I feel like for as much as I've laughed at all the mistakes that I've made in my life, which have been many, even since being a Christian, I feel like God has had such grace and protection and provision for me in that area specifically. I did lose my dad when I was 12. He was a pastor and passed away suddenly of a heart attack when he's 38. And I feel like I'm so passionate about the message of God's sovereignty. So everything that you have lacked or has been taken away from you, or even as a consequence of mistakes you made, he will make up for in areas that you can't even imagine. So my mom remarried to a wonderful man who is so good with my kids, and my sister married an amazing Uncle Mike, has been a huge role model, especially in Jack's life for 7 years. You know, you just take up and do things, and again, Christian family and friends and church ministry. I have an amazing friend, Isa and Rick, who, you know, they're like Jack's other parents, my oldest, because when I was single and working, she would take him after school every day. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the blessing of people in my life, and I just think it's God. It's God just hooking you up because he doesn't care. He just loves you. He loves your kids more than we even love our kids. So it's been, I should go on and on.
That's so good. Okay. I wanted to take a moment and tell you about ButcherBox. So with ButcherBox, you get to choose from curated boxes of high quality beef, chicken, pork, or you can customize your own box. The meat is frozen at the peak of freshness in individual vacuum packed biodegradable packaging. Each box has just the right amount of dry ice to make sure that it stays frozen even after it reaches your doorstep, and it's all delivered for free. They offer a wide selection and build a box that is exactly what you and your family will love. It's really convenient too. You get to choose how frequently it gets delivered, and each box includes recipe cards and tips and tricks to create high quality meals. I know for me, sometimes I don't know exactly how to cook the meat, and so I just either avoid cuts that I don't understand, or I buy them and I mess them up and then I'm mad about it. So ButcherBox is actually making me a better cook. ButcherBox is offering Mom Struggling Well listeners free bacon and $20 off your first box. Go to butcherbox.com/MSW and then you enter promo code MSW at checkout. So for free bacon and $20 off your first box, go to butcherbox.com/MSW and then enter promo code MSW at checkout. What would you like moms to know who maybe aren't single moms? I mean, I'm sure that you maybe feel some judgment, or maybe it's actual, maybe it's perceived, being in the Christian. What do you wish they knew so that they would understand your situation?
Sometimes I think that they assume it's a choice to be a single mom. And especially with my first, you know, I wasn't Christian when I had my first. And so you're just living the lifestyle that everybody lives in the world, right? You're not honoring God's principles of no sex before marriage. And then you change, you know. But I had a hard time viewing myself as just as holy or just as Christian or just as pure as my other mom friends that were Christian their whole lives and did everything right and got married and then had kids. And that's just the enemy. That's just like, he's trying to hold you down. He's trying to squelch your boldness. So I don't even know if there is judgment. I think a lot of it is just our perception of what married Christian moms think about us.
I think it's in our own heads, because I felt that way for a long time as a single mom. And now a divorced mom, I think a lot of people assume reasons why you're divorced, or, I mean, there is the stigma of, okay, you're not supposed to get divorced. Like, it's in the Bible. Jesus gives two reasons. And if it wasn't those two reasons, then you're out of God's will, right? But yeah. I think God's bigger than that. He has grace. There's forgiveness for all sins, right? So I feel like for divorced moms, it's just something to remind yourself. And there is no one sin greater than the other. I think it's just this perpetual, okay, it's out there, but there's so many sins. I always talk, you know, I do a prison ministry and, oh, my sin's too big. There's so many things, a jealous spirit, a gossiper, that's just as bad as being divorced. But when you're divorced, it's like so blatant. Well, there's no man next to me at church and I have a lot of kids. So, you know, it's just that.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're not feeling that it's from other people.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we perceive it's from other people, so we think they're thinking something that they're not, and so we get a little bitter. And like you said, it may not even be from them. It may be from you.
Totally.
So how do you navigate things with your ex-husband in a way that honors him to your kids?
So another area that we've been so blessed in, and I always want to be careful talking about this because I have so many people that I've known that go through difficulties and struggles. When I say it has been as easy and as amicable,
you wouldn't even believe it. So I feel like we transitioned well, we get along. We never even went through the court system. I mean, we agreed everything amicably. And the kids, there wasn't any questions. Like, we just, you know, told them in our own ways. This is a few years, ago now, so they're a little younger. You have to, you know, craft your message. But I feel like even that, okay, divorce is not in God's will. I mean, it's too complicated to go into the reasons why we did. But God can make he can make anything good and beautiful, anything. And I feel so blessed. It's like, I never even want to seem like I'm bragging, because I know how lucky and rare we are to have had this whole process. And I know it's God.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like we made it our own journey. I feel like sometimes you just hear like, okay, divorce, oh, it's going to be rough. It's going to get contentious. Oh, everything's good now, but you just wait until the child plan comes. And everybody in life, I feel like I do have a gift of like, well, that's not my role. Like, I've never done things or thought the way I think I'm supposed to.
Okay.
That's anti-me. So I feel like, yep, your divorce doesn't have to look like that. And your ministry doesn't have to look like that. And your motherhood doesn't have to look like, and I feel like it's a testimony to other people, even the families that are together and married, like, people are struggling. It's a tough time right now. It's a tough time for everybody.
Totally.
So it's just more reason to give him glory, even in something like divorce. It's not something I'm ashamed of, or I don't want to, talk about it, because it's unfortunately so prevalent even in Christian communities.
Absolutely. Which is why I wanted to talk about it, because I think it's definitely underrepresented in people who are willing to share. Talk to me about, you said, like, I feel like I do things different than everybody else. What has it been like to become a Christian and also feel like you don't exactly look like everybody else? Did that make you wonder if you should be, or if you, like, don't belong in this club, or, you know what I'm saying? Just how has that been?
Yeah, I definitely struggled a little, because my oldest went to a fundamental Baptist school for years until he was in ninth grade, where the women wore skirts. None of them wore pants. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that isn't my style. Uh-huh. So I felt like, wow, like, I felt like going around with a scarlet. Hey, I had to question everything. Like, well, should I be? Am I modest enough? Like, it made me think about all these things. And I feel like, no, I it's between you and God, right? So I feel like with motherhood and the way that I've done things is, are you giving glory to God? It's just between you and Him. So I feel like with anything, with the way you raise your kids, and, you know, a lot of moms have certain devotional times or Bible studies with their kids in their house on certain days of the week. I mean, we just all do things so differently. And I feel like that's okay. That's kind of my message, is there is no one way to mother. There is no, because there's only one you, there's only one of your child. And it's like the dynamic, and just any human to human relationship is so different, right? So
That's good. There's a lot of freedom in taking yourself out of the box, taking the pressure off.
Like, even dinners, we have like kale smoothies and a side of like chicken nuggets and some like bread, because, and that sounds horrible, but it's better than white bleach flour spaghetti. Like, take another bite. It's like everything they're getting. But I had to really like come to terms with that, because I grew up with a mom who stayed at home and was an amazing cook, and we had amazing meals every single day. So I just feel like, this is terrible. My kids are going to have horrible dinner memories. Like, who cooks like this? But it works, and they're getting their nutrients, and it's not, now it's enjoyable. Now we can just relax. It's not me a drill sergeant every night. So it's just one little example, but those things make a difference in your day to day when it's that big dinner time, if it's a strife. So now I own it, you know?
Yeah. So let's find where it's not working and simplify it.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you take care of yourself as a single mom?
So I'm really into fitness. I jog probably every other day. I go trail running. I just love nature. I just feel like, I think it's really, it's what's wrong with so much of humanity is we're not out breathing oxygen and touching the earth. So I'm huge into that. So it's my kind of, it is my me time, or I do go to the gym. And I watch my YouTube, Bill Johnson, Bethel sermons at the gym. And that's like my favorite hour. I actually go on my lunch break at work, and it's glorious. And I'm a worship. Like, I almost feel like, do I need it? Is it a problem? Because I have worship music on 24 hours a day, like blaring. Like, I just, that's my thing. That's what makes me happy and joyful. So that's my me time. It's like me and the Lord. And I feel like it just rejuvenates me so much. It's like the key to life for me, honestly, is worship. The key to everything.
That's so good. I love that you found what works for you. So, all right, I have one more question. What is something that just these days you can't stop talking about?
Oh, geez, I'm going to be really corny and generic. I do have a man in my life. A Christian man. It's actually been a year and a half. I can't stop ever talking about him, ever. I feel so bad for whoever's around me. Because I feel like he's like God's true like gift to me. He's so amazing. I feel like I always think, I'm going to pinch you. Are you an angel? You're straight from heaven. Is everything. So honestly, I'm that girl right now. And it's funny, like, being like this in love, like, and he's so great with my kids, and he has kids, and he's divorced. It's like perfect. But Yeah, I just can't stop talking about him because I feel like God wows me, but sometimes it takes a long time to be wowed. So relationships has always been a struggle in my life ever since I was a young teenager, like just men and relationships. It's a whole theme. And I feel like, wow, it took a while for me to get there. A lot of it was me hindering my own self because I wouldn't give up certain things. I wouldn't live like God wanted me to live. But now I feel like, oh, you came through. It's never too late. Like, wow, like everything I ever dreamed in a person. And it's awesome. So I feel like God's awesome. So that's what I'm talking about lately.
Well, there you go. I love that. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I feel like for moms, it's just, I always say, like, just don't take it too seriously. Like, your kids are going to be okay. Like, there's been so many seasons that my kids have been like, oh, Eli was in a stubborn phase. I would be like, my gosh, is he going to be ornery and grumpy? And now he's not. I feel like just focus on the Lord. And I always say the best way to be the best mom that you can be is honestly, just don't give up your me time with the Lord. Like, if you are close with him and your walk is with him, I think a lot of times it's easy to plateau or you're so tired when the kids are babies. I think a lot of struggles I went through was because I wasn't as close to the Lord. We all go ups and, you know, it's a relationship, right? It's like anything. So yeah, there's ups and downs and valleys, but really, like, what if I really have good quiet time in the morning, like my day with my kids will be better no matter what. So I just do think that's the underlying key. So
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your honest heart, and I appreciate your humor because I have the same one. So
I know, so it's very far and who we'll have to unite. Yeah, I found one.
I know, right? All right, ladies, so let's talk about this. I want you to come away with one thing that you feel like you can implement or let yourself off the hook for, or something you can pray about that can help you struggle well based on what Jessica said. So maybe pretend play is your idea of the worst time ever. Maybe this week you do it and set a timer and let yourself be fully engaged until the timer goes off. No fair setting the timer for 3 minutes. Let's stretch ourselves a little bit. I know for me, reading to my kids, I always, at first, I'm like, ugh, but then I really get into it and we end up having a great time. I also find that it's a really good way to change the tone. If everyone's kind of on each other's nerves when you can read, then everyone all of a sudden is having a kind of a controlled positive experience with one another. And so it kind of helps us pass the bumps that we're having in our day. If we can kind of just read, it gives us a reset. Maybe you don't have a lot of time with your kids in this season, and so you can pick one thing to do each day and just really focus in. Maybe it's reading, maybe it's pretend play, maybe it's making cookies, maybe it's going on a walk. Just be fully committed, put your phones away, do a lot of eye contact, ask a lot of questions. They will love it. Maybe you're a mom who can identify with being a single mom or being a working mom or being a mom who just doesn't feel like she fits in. I hope Jessica's words were an encouragement that you can just do you because you're exactly how you're supposed to be. Could we all do with heading more towards Christ-likeness and obedience to him? Yes. But the way that you are, your personality, the things you love, the things you think are funny, the things you like to do in your free time, those things are not wrong. I mean, unless they're like robbing banks and stuff, that's wrong. Please stop robbing banks. That is never going to get you where you want to go. But for the mom who is just feeling lonely, keep talking to God about that. I promise you, he will bring somebody. He knows who your mom friend is going to be. Just keep asking him and keep your eyes open and keep trying to start conversations, even if it feels super terrible. Something's got to work eventually, right? For the mom who does fit in, ladies, look around. Find the mom who isn't fitting. That is what we're supposed to do. That is how we're supposed to be. It's so hard when we are really enjoying ourselves and our group of friends and our activities. It's hard to remember to look outside of that, but do it. Come on, guys. I think sometimes with women, we don't always get past junior high. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, but we need to be safe. We need to be welcoming. We can do this. One way that I am doing that this week, actually today, I'm recording this on a Tuesday, is we are going to start having Taco Tuesday at my house where it's just open invitation. Every neighbor that we can think of to invite is welcome. All they have to do is bring some kind of taco topping. Totally stole this idea from my friend Chantel. I interviewed her on episode 86 about her Taco Tuesdays. It only took me about a year to implement it, but better late than never. I also loved what Jessica said about having made a bunch of mistakes, but that God, he literally does turn it all around. Romans 8:28 is not just a platitude or just a sweet idea for a Hallmark card. It is actually true. He will work things out for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you have your eyes on the Lord, you are loving him, you want his plan for your life, it doesn't matter what came before. He will sort it the heck out. I don't even know how he does it, but he does. So ladies, come find the Mom Struggling Well community on Instagram at Mom Struggling Well. Wednesday night, we do Struggle Well Wednesday, where we talk about the shenanigans that are transpiring in our homes. And it's really fun and it'll make you feel better about your motherhood. I promise. When you shop on Amazon, please use the show's affiliate link. I will be your best friend. The way you do that is you go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and then you'll be using the affiliate link. Doesn't cost you anything. The biggest hurdle to overcome is to go to my website first. I think you can do it. I really do. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, I think the things that Jessica was talking about resonate with every single one of us. If we feel like we don't fit in, it's a lonely place to be. Thank you, Lord, that you definitely understand what it feels like to not fit in. Even on your best days, you were absolutely nothing like all the humans that you spent time around during your time on Earth. For those of us who do fit in, I don't know, Lord, it can be really hard because it's so comfortable to fit in. We love fitting in. God, help us to open our eyes, look around, and consider the moms on the fringes. God, would we go first and lead out in that way? Just a smile, ask a question. We make it so much harder than it needs to be. I like your shirt. Where did you get your shoes? Lord, help us to think outside of ourselves the way that you did when you came to Earth. Lord, for single moms, I pray for support. I thank you for the ways you've provided for Jessica, and I pray that for single moms right now who are wondering what on earth are they supposed to do now. I pray for working moms who feel either judged or guilty. God, guilt is not a tool that you use, so if somebody's feeling guilty, that's not from you. Lord, for the mom who is working and really wants to stay home, I pray that you would open up a way. For the mom for whom staying home is really not something that she loves, pray that you would either change her heart or provide a place for her to give some energy outside the home each week. Lord, I thank you that you're bigger than the stereotypes and the culture that we've created. I pray that you would help us to hold loosely our ideas of what is quote unquote right if it's not clearly outlined in your word. Lord, help us to love one another. Gosh, help us as moms who understand what an absolute treasure and a beating this job is, help us to link arms and not just give each other the stink eye from across the playground. Lord, I thank you for all these moms in all these situations who are listening today. Would you bless them? In Jesus' name, amen.